To not be positive is difficult. To when you're surrounded by enthusiastic people, man, they can rev you up. You know, I again, remember we talked about this morning, entering or leaving a room, an enthusiastic person, when they, watch this, when an enthusiastic person enters the room, it lights up. And if an enthusiastic person goes into a room where people refuse to be lit up, then they will light up the room when they leave. Yes. Even enthusiastic people light up the room when they leave. Because some people don't want to be comforted. They don't want to get in there. They don't want to give it all they've got. So those kind of people, you aggravate them. But that's okay. I'd rather aggravate them and know that I'm still trying to get somebody around there. So now here's what I want you to ask yourself. Ask yourself this question. What kind of impact am I making for those around me? Ask yourself that every day. What kind of impact am I making on those around me, in my family, those around me at my work, those around me that are my friends, those around me in my church? What kind of impact am I making on these people? The Bible says they were glad when we said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122 and 1, we should be glad, enthused, excited when we come into this house. Listen, when I come in this house, every time I come in this house, I thank God for new people. Every time we come into this house this morning, I said, Lord, thank you for a great service. Thank you, Lord, for power. Thank you for anointing. I thank you, God, that your spirit's going to move in a very powerful way. I thank you for all the aspects of this service. And I come in expecting. And even like tonight, when I come in here, I said, Lord, thank you. I know because of the weather, it's not going to be a very large crowd, but it'll be fine because the ones that are here, Lord, let them walk away saying, I was glad when they said, let's go in the house of God. Amen. So now, how do you improve your level of enthusiasm? How do you get this enthusiastic outlook? I'm trying to be quick. I'm trying not to give a bunch of illustrations or go out and chase any bunnies. All right. Number one, you have to show a sense of urgency. Now, John 9:4 says, I must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man works. If you want to improve your enthusiasm, give yourself a greater sense of urgency. Give yourself a clearer definition or clearer deadlines that are a little more ambitious than you're comfortable with. How many lately have done things you've been sped up or had more thrown at you, and you didn't really feel exactly comfortable with it? It's okay. I have it to me all the time. It happens. But when it happens, what I have discovered is when that happens, God is getting ready to move me to a different level. So if you've been hitting things that are above and beyond, if things have been kind of coming at you, you're going, I'm not really comfortable at the speed we're traveling. Remember, God's moving you to another level. Mario Andretti said, if everything's under control, you're going too slow. And everybody knows Mario Andretti. All right? So now, when you tighten up your deadlines, it gets you more focused. It gets you more energized. You know, tomorrow's necessary, but we don't need to be procrastinators. And a person that is a procrastinator, they may have some enthusiasm, but let me just put it this way. If somebody is a constant procrastinator, I mean constant, I mean never getting anything done, ever. I'm not talking about someone waits to the last minute, because I love to wait to the last minute. It tickled me at the parade, I think it was last year, and DC and Daniel actually had already built the float, but they waited just before the parade to put the float together. And so they're across the street, and they're putting together this duck blind and all this stuff. And I can't remember who was hollered out and said, there's them Linton boys. They decided 5 minutes ago they're going to have a float in this parade, and they're down there building it. It was really, really funny because they had already put this together, had been planning it for weeks. It just didn't look like it, okay? So again, I'm not talking about people to get it done, because there are people that do have a different sense of urgency than others. I'm talking about a procrastinator. A true procrastinator gets very little done. Somebody that's a very strong procrastinator, they may be enthusiastic, but people aren't going to necessarily get enthused when they're around them. They're going to think more or less they're a fruitcake. Look, they're happy. Nothing's getting done. Woo! You know, but again, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. You know, I've gotten a different sense of schooling lately. I'm trying to get enrolled back into Lee College and finishing up a counseling degree, pastoral degree that I'd started many years ago. And I need it so I can go to a different level. And so Linda is going to Mount Olive College, and she's taking accelerated classes. They talk about accelerated. It takes 16 weeks for a semester. Okay, 16 weeks. Well, she's doing 16 weeks in 5. So that means you're doing 3.2 college weeks in 1 week. Papers and everything. When she left here today, she had to go take a test. She had to write a 400 word essay and something else. I mean, she just had all this stuff. But she had 2 classes last 5 weeks. And as she's getting ready to end up her 5 weeks, they went ahead and started the next class. So she had 3 classes in 1 week. Bless her heart. It was pitiful. It was pitiful around there because she's always studying. She's always got a book in her hand. She's always, you know, doing tests online and all this stuff going on. And I told her, I said, well, dear, if it'll make you feel any better, I'll go ahead and jump in there too, and we can both go crazy together. She said, do what? Actually, why I'm losing weight is because initially I got sick. I said, Lord, I'm really having a hard time trying to lose this weight. The more I try to lose, the more I gain. I need you to help me. Then I got sick. And in 3 or 4 weeks, I lost 30 pounds. Now, so Linda said, you're pitiful, son. These 104 temperatures. You're pitiful, but you're looking good. And so my dad even said, son, I feel bad for you, but you're looking good. So I decided, Lord, you must have been giving me a quick start program. And so something good coming out of something bad. And so now I'm keeping on working on it. And I hate to give these numbers out for 2 reasons. One, because some of y'all might not have known it because I'm tall and I'm big boned. But the highest I've ever weighed that I could see dressed was 296 pounds. That was this year. And this morning I weighed 254 pounds. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's right. That's right. So yeah. And so now I'm trying to lose weight. But I'm not dieting. I'm just watching what I eat and how I eat. And I've quit thinking that I've got to eat everything in front of me. You know, I'm just chilling. I can tell you, I can give y'all some pointers if you want, but it's stuff I'm learning as I'm going along. But this morning, 254 pounds was just awesome. I wanted to get down to about 240. You know, somewhere around there. Doctor told me don't look at the charts. Get to where you feel good. And I feel good between 230 and 240. And so none of that, but I've already had to buy some more pants. Linda said, we're going to buy you some pants. I said, I'm fine. She says, no, you need those whatever's in the back of your pants to move out. So you got so much room back there. Yeah. And so, yeah. All right. So, so here we go. Sense of urgency. Number 2, be willing. Now, here's a hard one. Listen to me. How many want an enthusiastic attitude? You really want it. Get ready, because I'm getting ready to tell you. Okay. Be willing to do more. Wow. Be willing to do more. We live in a time where everybody's saying, let somebody else do it. We're somebody else. Why aren't somebody else doing it? I don't mean take everything on yourself. I just mean be willing to do more. The Bible says in Matthew 5:41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. So, again, I'm not talking about you got to take the whole load on yourself and you got to do it all yourself. I'm just saying is you've got to be willing to do more. A good way to show enthusiastic spirit and make a positive impact is to go the extra mile. Next time somebody asks you to help them, do it, and not just do it, but do a little bit more. And watch what it does. And watch what it does to them. And watch what it does for everybody around. So it's an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. We live in a society that just wants to get by. Do y'all ever work with somebody that just wants to get by? I used to say this, and once I started learning, I used to tell people, don't say that. And people that work for me, I say, you definitely don't need to say that. And that was, well, 8 hours is 8 hours. No. No. Well, I'm just trying to get my time in so I can get out of here. No. No. We're here to make a difference. We're here. This isn't just 8 hours. That's like saying, well, this is just a Sunday night service. It don't matter. It does matter. Very much matters. You gotta think about this thing. Be willing to go that extra mile and not just get by. Matter of fact, 1 Kings 12:28, the king took counsel after Solomon died. The king took counsel and he said unto them, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel. And he brought them up that brought you out by the land of Egypt, and he set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. He made golden calves for them to worship because it was too much for them to go to church. Now let me ask you a question. Isn't that what today is? It's too much to go to church, and we got the gold before us. It's the same. And that's the when you hear talking about the sin of Rehoboam, that's the sin. Whenever you hear God talking about the sin of Rehoboam that he really hated, that's the sin. All right, number three, and then we're going to close. First, show a sense of urgency. Two, be willing to do more. Three, strive for excellence. Always have in your mind, I'm going to do something awesome for God. Excellence in his service. I'm going to do something awesome for God. You know, they were asking some guys one time, they were building a cathedral somewhere, and they were asking one guy, what was he doing? He says, I'm handing hot coals, or whatever you call it, the rivets. And they asked the other guy, so what are you doing? He said, I'm just up here trying to get by another 8 hours. He asked the other guy, so what are you doing? He says, I'm helping build a glorious house for God. They were all doing the same thing, but they had three different attitudes. So now, it's hard to be enthusiastic about anything if you're not giving your best. I can tell when I'm not giving my best. I can tell it, I can tell it, I can tell it. I can tell when I'm not giving it all I've got. Can you tell? You don't need anybody else to tell you. You know, you don't need anybody to walk behind you with a Bible and beat you over the head with it and say, you need to tighten up, tighten up, tighten up. You know, because the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. Listen, we don't have time to ease off what we're doing this last day. You know, I love what Linda said. She said this morning in her prayer, when she said, although we may have walked a thousand miles or a thousand steps for God, from God, all it takes is one step in the other direction. That was awesome. I mean, that prayer was awesome. One step in the other direction. So again, Lord, help me have a higher standard of excellence. And I'm going to read this verse, and then we're going to pray. Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Let me just kind of break this down. It says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Watch this. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility and service, who also being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all the privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, that he may become like men, and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly lifted him up and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Somebody asked Mother Teresa, they saw Mother Teresa wiping the face of a leper, wiping the sores and wiping the face. And they looked at Mother Teresa and said, "You couldn't give me $1 million to do that." And Mother Teresa said, "Me neither." Wow. She did it for nothing. Now, again, whatever we do, do it with all your heart. Get excited. Get excited. I'm going to tell you something else, too. One thing that keeps you from getting burnt out is getting excited. Stay excited. Now, we didn't talk tonight. We'll talk some more about it next week. But God is doing something special for us. Amen. And we got to trust Him. Let's pray. And I want y'all to get home before it gets... Well, it's already dark. Once you get home before the creek rises. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for each person here. I thank you, God, that each person here has been especially chosen by you, Lord, to do what they've been called to do. And I thank you, God, that there's absolutely no one in this place that you have skipped over, you have forgot about, that you have nothing for them to do. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, Lord, and to anoint each person. Help us, Lord, have a greater appreciation for what you do for us, Lord. And help us, God, show that appreciation by working, Lord, diligently in your kingdom. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for all that are here. And I thank you, Lord, for getting them home safely. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, all right, y'all, get home before it gets messy.